Let's go ahead this morning and turn in our Bibles to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus in chapter 13 is where we're going to start this morning. and throughout the last several sermons and lessons that we've gone through, we've seen some very important principles being taught. And some of the things that we have been taught, we're going to reference today. Some of the verses you're like, well, hey, he just used that one, or hey, that one was familiar. And again, if we look at scripture, it is the building of, as the Bible says, line upon line, precept upon precept. It is a construction process. We are laying, if you will, one stone, one brick, one thing at a time, putting it together to, again, glorify the Lord in all that we do. And what we realize in Scripture is that there are a great many things that point to Jesus Christ. And as, again, as I said this morning, the more you dig in the Word of God, the more you're going to see these things line up. When a person trusts Christ as their Savior and they get their first Bible and they start reading through it and they start, you know, going through all of these things and they get ambitious and they say, hey, I'm going to read through the Bible, and they start with Genesis and they're like, oh, this is good. And Exodus, oh, this is great. And then they get to Leviticus. And I've had young believers come to me and ask me, what is this book? And it's, and again, my advice to them I give is read it and just move on. It will make sense later on, because there's some things that you read in the Word of God and you go, what did I just read? Ezekiel. Everybody picks on poor Ezekiel. And people are like, Ezekiel's hard to understand. Ezekiel's the most difficult book of the Bible. It's not the most difficult book of the Bible, by the way. Ezekiel, once you start realizing and going through and start matching some things up, a lot of it begins to make sense. And Ezekiel was the great, if you will, object lesson teacher of the Bible. He had all sorts of object lessons, some that were rather, yeah. But it's amazing to see what he does. But again, there's a lot of things that, yeah, we can't necessarily frame when he starts describing cherubims and things of that nature. There's a lot of stuff that's there. It's like, whoa, okay. There's a lot of prophecy. There's a lot of connections with other books in the book of Ezekiel, but it's not one of the most difficult ones. I dare say that Leviticus isn't even one of the most difficult ones. My opinion, the most difficult one? Song of Solomon. Because you read that book and you go, what did I just read? And you're like, and again, just move on. It may make sense later on. It may not make sense in this life. It may make sense in the next life. But whatever it is, what we do is we read through Scripture, and then when God begins to point things out, we begin to realize, hey, that makes sense now. And I want us to start here in Leviticus chapter 13. In Leviticus chapter 13, and I want us to read verses 12 through 13. Here we are talking about leprosy. You're like, oh, this is a great sermon. You know, let's start Sunday morning talking about disease. Yeah, that's the way we do it here. So leprosy in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 12, it says, and if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for the time. Thank you again, Lord, for what you give to us in your word. And I pray, Lord, that as we look at this today, we'll have an understanding of what you have put here. That, Lord, while there are practical things that we may understand that are in the physical world, Lord, there's a great deal of spiritual understanding that we need when we look at these principles. And Lord, I just pray that you would use your Holy Spirit to speak to us this morning, to teach us, to lead us into that path of righteousness. for us to realize the importance of what we're reading here. And again, Lord, to use this to please you and honor you. I thank you again, Lord, for those that are here, and I pray that this time would be honoring and pleasing to you in all that we do. And this I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So here we are taking a look at leprosy this morning. And one thing that we do know about leprosy is that leprosy is often referred to or typified as a sin. Again, when people look at leprosy, it's a disease that in this day and age we don't see a lot of. We don't see a lot of people with leprosy. There are still leper colonies. Some of the leper colonies that are around, I think there may still be one over on the Hawaiian island of Molokai, but there are very few of them around because we have pharmaceuticals that can address it nowadays. Back then, they didn't have those things. Back then, there was difficulty in dealing with leprosy. And again, leprosy wasn't just necessarily the leprosy that we know today. It was a whole host of diseases, a whole host of problems, a whole host of skin issues, a whole host of things that cause difficulty in a person's life. So when we begin to look at this, and we'll look at this in a moment, and again, keeping this idea in mind, leprosy is a type, or if you will, typifies sin in the Bible. And we're going to see some of these principles here. This is, again, why we want to make sure that when we're reading the Word of God, that we understand that there are some things that, like I said, that are on the surface. But if you really, truly want to grab a hold of the things that God wants us to understand and get an understanding of the deeper things and the deeper thought processes of God, you have got to look deeper than the surface. You have got to look deeper than a casual reading of what God has put here. So when we start talking about this leprosy, and we start talking about how it goes about, what one of the things that we see here in this specific passage, as he talks about previous, if it's got this and if it's got that, it's leprosy, he's unclean. If this person's got this and that, then that means that person's unclean. But here in this situation, this leprosy that has created, if you will, a scale over the entire person's skin, what do we see about it? This person is clean. This person is going through the healing process. This person, if you will, has been healed of that leprosy. There's no longer a scab about it. There's no longer open sores. There's no longer redness of the wound. What we find is we find it being white, if you will. And what happens is we see a great picture, if you will, of salvation. And also, one of the things that we as believers need to understand when we deal with sin in our lives, because we still have that will that we have to combat on a daily basis, what we need to do with the Lord to address the sin problems. Take a look at the next chapter in chapter 14 of the book of Leviticus. He continues on dealing with this issue of leprosy. And we'll read verses 1 through 8 here, and it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing." So here we are in a situation where, let's say, we find an individual that has had leprosy. He comes to the priest and he says, examine me. He puts himself out for examination. I want you to keep that in mind. And the priest comes, and the priest's job is to look beyond what the clothes hide. He's standing there, that person is standing there, very vulnerable. And in the privacy, this priest is looking over the body and saying, if they see something that is even red, an open sore, a redness of the wound, that person isn't clean, they still have to go without the camp. Because what happened was, is if you had leprosy, you couldn't stay in the congregation. You had to stay out. You had to be on the outside. Why? Because leprosy is infectious. You know what happens with sin? It's infectious. God will separate you with your sin. Understand that. But here's this priest, and he's looking over the body, and he examines, and he says, all I see is white. All I see is that scale. You're clean. Do you know how great it would be to hear that declaration? That he goes in privacy, the priest examines, the priest comes out, everybody, all the families out there waiting, he comes out, and many times before, lepers have gone in, come out, and the priest says, he's unclean, he's got to stay outside the camp. And there's the family waiting, and out comes the priest, and the priest declares, he's clean. There would be rejoicing. He gets to return at that point. And here's this cleansing that takes place. After he's declared clean, here's the process that goes on. And again, as we read through this, I just want us to keep our hearts and our minds open to what the Spirit is showing us here and the typology that we find with salvation and the typology that we find with repentance and forgiveness of sins and the cleansing act, keeping in mind 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he, who's that? God, Jesus Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were cleansed from your sin. Now understand, we still sin after salvation. And we still have to go through the process of correcting it and making it right. Because we don't want to sin and say, well, I'm going to continue in sin. My sins are forgiven. I don't care. I've got a home in heaven. That's not the way God would will that you live your life. As a matter of fact, it's contrary to it. That's an act of disobedience, rebellion, and pride. But here we find this cleansing that takes place. In verse 2, it says, this is the law of the cleansing. Or in the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look, and behold, and if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take him, for that is to be cleansed, two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. But it shall be on the 7th day that shall shave off all of his head, hair off of his head and his beard and his eyebrows. And all hair he shall shave off and shall wash his clothes. He shall be, shall wash his flesh in water. And he shall be clean. And then it goes into the sacrifice that he gives for it. Now I want us to look at that and begin to understand there's a lot of typology there. There's a lot of typology. Keep your place. We'll refer to a few references here. But I want us to go over all the way over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And what do we find? In Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 1, we find this passage of scripture talking about the law that we just read, talking about all those things that God had given to Israel to do. And here he is talking again to Hebrews. He's talking to Jews here. This is pertinent to them. Because at this point in time, they are still struggling with blindness. They still can't see what God has done for them fully. They're still blinded by their own sin of pride. But what we find is that God, in His mercy and grace, talks to them again, talks to them during their purging that is necessary, which is part of that great tribulation to come, where God is again purifying that nation to enter into that millennial reign with Him. And what do we find here? We find a note to them talking about the law. And it says in verse 1, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of these things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect." The writer here in Hebrews points out, saying that law that we did, that could never make us perfect. That could never make us complete with God. That was temporary until Jesus Christ came and paid the sacrifice of His own blood being shed and dying upon the cross for our sins. The final sacrifice. That is why we as believers don't sacrifice anymore. Because the sacrifice has been done. The sacrifice has been completed. It's been fulfilled. All of the law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We don't have to keep it anymore in that regards for salvation. But it is still a schoolmaster, and it still will teach us what is right and what is wrong, what is holy and what is unholy. We have to understand that. There are things that we look at in Scripture that teach us that. But what we find over back in Leviticus is we find, as he says there, is an image. It's a picture. There's a typology that's there. And we find, as we think about what has happened when we trusted Christ as our Savior, when a person comes to the Lord and says, "I am a sinner in need of salvation," what happens is there is a great picture that takes place with this leper as a sinner, if you will, coming to our high priest, Jesus Christ, to get the proclamation of "He is clean." He is clean. This, again, as I said, this typifies throughout Scripture. Turn over to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 38. Psalm chapter 38, here David is, if you will, talking about himself, talking about some issues in his life. And I want you to read this and think about this and realize exactly what he's talking about. David is describing himself as a leper. Think about this just for a moment. And it says in verse 1, "O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore." Now listen to this in verse 3 as we go through this. "There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger." There's no soundness in the flesh of a leper. It's falling off of him. It's scabbed. It's open wounds. It's disgusting. "Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin." Here's this again, this disease being portrayed as sin. "For my iniquities are gone over my head, and as a heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desires before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me, As for my light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. What do we find here? He's describing himself as a leper because of his sin. Because of what David has done, he makes it very clear how loathsome of a disease sin really truly is. I mean, you think about this for a moment. You think about what type of disease would be described like that. That would be leprosy. Leprosy is a loathsome disease. And when we think about that word, loathsome, and how much it is to be detested and hated, I mean, if you were to be in that position back then where you found yourself one day finding a sore and you go to the priest and you say, what is this? And he looks at it and he examines it and he goes, it's leprosy. Man, you'd hate your life. You'd hate your life because all of a sudden, you got to move out of the camp. You can't talk to your friends anymore. You can't be around your family. You can't live in your house. You can't be anywhere near other people other than other individuals that have the same loathsome disease. And still, even then, you don't want to hang around them because their leprosy may be worse. You don't want to catch their worst leprosy. Isolation. Isolation. You do realize that sin isolates us. Sin will make you so lonely that you will drop into the pit of despair at a rapid pace. As you begin to look at the sin in your life and you begin to look at how horrible it is, an affront to God, and how disgusting it is, you begin to get an understanding of what David's talking about here. I mean, you go through this and he starts talking about all the things. My wounds stink. You know why leprosy was such a loathsome disease? Because it smelled. It smelled. I mean, I know there's some of us here that have been in the healthcare field before and maybe have been exposed to stuff like that. But you know when a wound turns south? And it gets ugly. It gets bad. I tell you, there's nothing more disturbing than having a bunch of nurses over you pull off, a wound covering and then pull down their mask and go do the sniff test. Or get really close to you and go and smell you. The sniff test. What's it smell like? Through all my ordeal, I've had nurses like over here on my belly sitting there going, I'm like, what do you think it smells like? I don't know. And both of them down there. And you're just like, this is,
now we know.
Yeah, this is not good. It's cringeworthy to use a word, I guess, that's like hip. Cool. I'm sorry. I'm not hip and cool. I'm just not. But thank you. Thank you for confirming that, Dan. But you understand, it's disturbing. Because sometimes some of those nurses, they pull off the packing and all of a sudden, they don't even need to get down there. They don't even need to take their mask off. The scent hits them. That's what leprosy is. That's how bad it smelled. Could you imagine outside the camp? There all are. Yeah, no wonder he says here, where he says, my lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore. They don't want to be around that. People don't want to see those things. It's disgusting. That's why he says, my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. It's a corruption. And I describe all of that and you're like, well, that's just disgusting. That's sick. You know, that's the way that God sees our sin. We've got to get back to the day and age where we really truly understand that's how God sees our sin. And as a believer, being cleansed from our sin. We don't want any part of that again. I want you to think about this for a minute. A little bit of my own opinion I'll insert here. If you were a leper back then, and you got declared as clean, do you think maybe you might be a little paranoid? Is it going to come back?
Right.
You know, you get a little something on there and you look at it and you go, honey, what does that look like? And she's like, it looks like you spilled some tomato sauce. Okay. Just, you know, you start freaking out over the littlest things. You'd be so paranoid. You're like, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to live that life again. I don't want to be outside the camp again. I don't want to be away from my friends again. I don't want to be out of fellowship again. I don't want to live a loathsome, diseased life ever again. Why in the world would a believer say, I want to continue in sin? We start looking at this and we can see how rich and how great all of this is in Scripture to teach us about what went on. And you go back over there to Leviticus chapter 14 and you see he's got these two birds. One dies and one flies away. You know what that pictures is a picture of? It's a picture of Christ dying on the cross and the resurrection. We see the freedom that even though that bird is taken and is cleansed with those things and is sent away, there again is the liberty that takes place. There's a liberty that occurs. And as a believer, we can sit there and we can go through and we can see all of that proclamation and pronouncement of being made clean and rejoicing that takes place, where they're rejoicing in heaven when a sinner repents and comes to the Savior. Do you ever think about that verse also in the same sense? When us as a believer, we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, I'm continuing this sin. I need to make this right. And you truly mean it and you start living that life. Do you ever think that maybe those angels are rejoicing over that as well? But here we are looking at this. I want you to think about some things with leprosy. Leprosy came from the inside out. It started inside and then it became a sore that comes and shows. It came from that inside and it began to manifest itself. And here we are understanding that from us comes those sins. As Jesus points out, and he says over there in the book of Matthew, what does he say? The things that come out of the man's heart. Cursings, lies, hypocrisy, adultery, sin. Sin. And what does it do? It creates something that separates us. Because that's truly what we begin to realize about leprosy, is leprosy was a disease that separated people. Your sin separates you from God. Now praise the Lord, there is a ministry of reconciliation where Jesus Christ came and reconciled us to God through his gospel. Through the death, burial, and resurrection. And we realize that from now on, we have fellowship with the Creator. We have fellowship with God again. We're born again. We have a reconciled life. We're restored. There's so much there that we begin to understand when we look at a leper about what happens. And again, you go back over there to Leviticus chapter 14, and where it points out, I want you to see there in verse 8, where it says in the middle part that he may be clean, and after that he may come into the camp. He can return like the prodigal. There's so much great richness in the typology that we see here about coming into the body of Christ, about beginning to have fellowship with the Savior, and again, with believers. Believer, I want you to understand this. You know, when we sin, it separates. There's difficulty getting prayer through. There's difficulty in hearing the Word of God because of our sin. There's difficulty on all those things when we allow sin to continue as a believer. But I also want us to understand this. It separates us from those around us that are believers as well. There's one thing I've ever seen with sin, is sin separates relationships. Sin breaks fellowship. Sin will cause us to no longer have individuals around us that edify us, encourage us, and comfort us. But when the sin is set aside, and when the sin is forgiven, as he promises in 1 John 1:9, you know what happens? Fellowship can be restored. When a person repents, when a person turns to God and away from their sin, when a person says, I no longer will live that loathsome disease life, fellowship can be restored. What else do we realize about leprosy? As you go through and you read the book of Leviticus, it starts talking about the houses. Leprosy wasn't just something that would plague a person. It could plague clothes, and it could plague houses. And there was a cleaning process for all of those. And I want us to understand that. Sin can have an effect on what we do in our house. A little bit of leprosy can spread throughout an entire house. Allowing sin into the house is the same as if you were to call and say, I want leprosy. You call up Amazon and say, I'd like a whole bunch of leprosy for my house. That'd be weird. It'd be bizarre. You'd be like, no, nobody would in their right mind do that. Then why would we allow that in our house? We have to begin to understand that. I mean, when we look at what God is showing us in all of these things, with just the simple act of, if you will, leprosy, or a simple subject of leprosy, and the acts that were done to cleanse, and it's just so great to realize that there's still an opportunity to be clean. Sin is not fatal unless it is unforgiven. Sin is not fatal unless it's unforgiven. And what do I mean by that? It means that if we die in our sins, where we have no forgiveness of sins, we suffer the second death. We suffer an eternity in hell, eternity in torment, an eternity in punishment. But when sin is forgiven and fellowship is restored, and there's a return to the camp, we begin to realize that life truly has a new meaning. Do you ever think about how much that leper would then begin to treasure all those things that they had lost? The embrace of a friend, the kiss of a spouse or a child, the sitting down of fellowship to eat and to enjoy the laughter of a family, how much that would be treasured. When we realize what our sin does, and why it's so loathsome, why it can spread into a household, why it can spread all sorts of places, We want to make sure that we live our life saying, I will not be tempted to sin that way. We understand temptations are going to come, but you have to purpose in your heart right now to not go after it. The devil knows exactly in your life how to truly get to a point of where you are going to be tempted. To tempt you with whatever it is that will get you to fall. You got a purpose right here, right now. You have to say, I won't fall for that. And it's not a matter of your power to do it. It's a matter of the way that the Lord says, I'll give you an escape method. You know what the escape method is? Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I will take up and put on the whole armor of God that I might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil and the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness, all the spiritual wickedness, all of those things that are intended to get us to fall and be separated from our God. This is what leprosy is. Interestingly enough, you know what? That leprosy had to be examined. That leper had to come and say, examine me. Remember that psalm that we read, Psalm 139, search me, O Lord. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the paths of righteousness. You know what we have to do? We have to be willing to stand in front of God and say, and very humbly, say, Lord, take a look at everything that I've got going on and see if any of it is leprous. See if anything is sinful. And we should do that on a day-to-day basis. We should do that throughout the day. Lord, is there something in here that's going to be plaguing me later on? Is there something that's going to plague my life and cause that loathsome disease to return? An examination. Go back over to Leviticus 14, and I want you to see a couple of things that are very interesting. Not only does the leper have to put himself forward to be examined by the priest, just like we as believers must put ourselves forward to be examined by Christ to see if there be anything in us that needs to be taken care of. I want you to see something. When that person, there's something that's discovered, something that needs to be taken care of, something that needs to be cleaned. You know what needs to happen and occur? At some point, when the things are being corrected and things are being taken care of, and by the way, the leper could never heal themselves. The leper could never heal themselves. But when that leper came and saw all these things being corrected, all these things being taken care of, the sores going away, all of this, and presents himself, there's a great typology. Wednesday, we're studying James. We moved out of James chapter 4. But in James chapter 4, in verse 8, doesn't it say, draw an eye unto the Lord, and what happens? He will draw an eye into you, right? Leviticus, did you notice this? Leviticus chapter 14, verse 2. This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp. What happens? The leper moves, the priest moves. The leper comes out, the priest comes out. All to meet together. And this is what we need to begin to understand, is that when we are willing to say, I'm willing to be examined, God will say to us, I will do that, and I will look for those things, and I will show them to you that you need to be cleaned of. You need to be cleansed of. it's so great, this typology. Where here's the leper, the sinner, if you will, that meets the priest, that meets our Savior for cleansing, sprinkled with blood. Praise God for the shed blood of our Savior. Praise God for the shed blood that cleanses sin. Because the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. But the perfect sacrifice that God Himself gave could cleanse us. And here we are looking at just a simple thing. You know, we look at all of these things in Scripture that God has put together. There's such a great richness and connection with all of it for our lives. You know, this morning we discussed leprosy. We discussed the typology of sin. We discussed the typology of cleansing with what Jesus Christ did. And I want us to realize all of that was contained right here in this book. We begin to see the connections that God makes. And I say all of that to say this, is that this book is not a normal book. This book is supernatural. Because again, the writer of Hebrews wasn't around when this book of Leviticus was written. But all of the things that are contained represent Jesus Christ. And you have to look. You have to study. You have to begin to understand all of the things that point, as Paul says, that reveal the Godhead and show us who Jesus Christ is. Show us who God the Father is. Show us who the Holy Spirit is and what He does. All of it found right here. There was a bit of a different message that began to develop during this week. And it was from the book of Hosea. That began to, and this message kind of morphed into a little bit of this. But over in Hosea, it began to talk about time. And it says it is time to break up the fallow ground. You know what it is? It's time to take that hard, disease-ridden, insect-ridden ground, break it up so that it is ready to receive the Word of God. It's very much redeeming the time. Because the days truly are evil. And just today, I just showed you a very simple thing to kind of understand, to make a connection with who Jesus Christ is from the Old Testament. And I want us to get this. The way you get these things is by spending time in this book. You know, when we think about what God did upon the cross, and we think about the resurrection, which we just recently, if you will, celebrated. I want us to think about how great it is that God would give us His perfect word for us to read. We don't need anything else other than this. Why, as a believer, would we not want to spend time in it? I've been in counseling sessions where people have said, I don't have time to read the Bible. And I remind them, well, let's put it this way. You have all the time in the world. It's just not a priority. We got to stop using those words because we hide behind them. No, the issue is that's not a priority. we make it a priority to do other things in our life, right? You make it a priority to brush your teeth. Well, hopefully you did. You make it a priority to make sure you get some food in you. Because if you don't, you know what happens. I mean, you know, in this day and age, I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's the whole water bottle craze, as I have one sitting right over here with me too. Everybody's like, oh, did you drink water? Did you drink water? Did you drink water? It's like, you know, water's the magic healer here. I'll tell you this, we take time to drink water. We take time for all sorts of things. We've got to make time for this. Because when we do, we will see those deep things from Scripture. We'll see how God shows us what He has done for us. And I encourage you and challenge you through the rest of this year, make this a priority. Make this the priority. Not anything else, but the Word of God that He gave to us as a gift. Let's respect that gift. Let's treasure that gift. And let's use it to grow closer to Him. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You again for this time. And Lord, I thank You again for just the typology that You've shown through us in Scripture. And why those were physical things that they needed to do to ensure that they remained clean and that they dealt with disease appropriately. Lord, we see how great an illustration is given in our lives of the sin that we deal with. And Lord, I just pray that if there is somebody here this morning that has not trusted Christ as their Savior, if there's somebody is here that has not been declared he or she is clean, that Lord, they would come to You today, that they would receive that cleansing, that they would have that restored fellowship with You, that they would receive again the fellowship of individuals that love and care and teach and help and comfort and edify the way that You use men and women to do in our lives. Lord, I pray that they would come to You today. Lord, if there's a believer today that maybe is dealing with sin, Lord, I pray that they would just get that taken care of. That they would look at the fact that they had a loathsome disease that was once forgiven, and that, Lord, they truly do not want to enter into that same life again. That they want to live for Your glory and pleasing. That they want to live a life that You say is more abundant than the life of sin. That, Lord, they would realize the great treasures and riches that are found in You and in Your Word. That we would make Your Word a priority in our lives so that sin would be kept away. Lord, I pray that if there's a believer here today that is struggling with those things, that, Lord, You would show them what needs to be done. That they need to be in Your Word more. They need to seek Your counsel. They need to seek Your forgiveness. They need to seek Your correction. They need to seek that repentance. They need to seek You. Lord, I thank You again for those that are here this day. I pray, Lord, we just take these things and we would grow thereby. Use them in our life daily to live for You. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I would be remiss, as we're talking about sin and forgiveness and cleansing today, to not offer an invitation. And an invitation is simply this: if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you are invited today to come to Him. And it's not me that is doing the invitation. It's not the church that's doing the invitation. It's the invitation of God and the Holy Spirit saying, come. Will you receive the cleansing of your sin today? If you've never done that in your life, I encourage you to just slip up your hand. I'll pray for you. After service, I'll come talk to you. And we'll see exactly what that means to trust Christ as your Savior, to have forgiveness of sins, to have a life, a new life that is in Him and Him alone. Believer, if you're here today and you've got some issues with sin, you know what you've been forgiven of. Let's make sure, maybe we're a little, if you will, paranoid to keep that sin away. The only way you're going to do that is through the continual study and reading, meditation, memorizing, and praying over the Word of God in your daily life. You've got to get that taken care of, or you need help with that, come see me after service. Again, Lord, I just thank you for all you've done for us. I pray you bless this time as we sing. It'd be pleasing unto you, and it would bless you. And this I ask in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.